Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your Thursday, and you sure as hell better be having a great start to your Thursday if you're a Grizzlies fan. In all honesty, the Grizzlies last night with their biggest victory since the last time they played the Spurs, or the last time they played against the Spurs in a postseason series, if you will, back in 2017, this is the biggest victory this Grizzlies team has arguably had over the past 4 years, a 100-96 victory in a do-or-die game, which has earned this Grizzlies team the right to meet their goal all season of making it to the playoffs this year. A big, big victory for this Grizzlies team. We'll get into why it was such a big victory for many different reasons in the second segment of the show. The first segment, we'll review what stood out and what were the big reasons why the Grizzlies were able to win the game against the Spurs. Despite getting out to a big lead, taking back basically a big counterpunch from the Spurs, but still being able to maintain the course and get a victory even when they weren't at their best. A huge showing from this Grizzlies team. And in the third segment, we'll talk about some rotation revelations from last night and what they might mean going forward. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app. Wherever you get your podcasts, that's where they will be. My name is Sean Coleman. I've been doing this for 3 years now, covering the Grizzlies through the Locked On Podcast Network for a little over a year, where it's literally your Grizzlies every day. If you're a loyal listener that's been here for years, thank you so much. How exciting is it to be able to experience playoff or at least postseason basketball once again for this new generation of Grizzlies? If you're a new listener, welcome. It's an exciting time to be a Grizzlies fan, and you've come to the right place for all this latest news, insight, perspectives, everything Grizzlies, anytime that you want it. That's the reason why the Locked On Grizzlies podcast is the place for you. Of course, we also want to remind you of our title sponsor for the show, Michelob Ultra. Michelob Ultra is the great tasting beverage to enjoy with your game day experience. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra because it's only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And that brings us to the Grizzlies, because we know that one of the reasons why, for themselves, for the players, the roster, the franchise, and their fans, we know it's worth it because of how much this Grizzlies team is enjoying the experience of evolving as a unit, taking that next step towards being a sustainable winner. And they took probably their biggest step in this new front office regime and under Taylor Jenkins last night. And they got off to a great start, right? 38 points in the first quarter last night. Jonas Valanciunas had 12 points and 9 rebounds. I know these stats don't count, but just for the hell of it, he's only the third Grizzly ever in franchise history to have at least 12 points and 9 rebounds in a quarter. He had 12 points last night in the first quarter. Jaren Jackson Jr. had 8 points. Dylan Brooks had 8 points. And an all-out team effort for this Grizzlies team got them off to a huge lead. But as we've seen over the past few weeks, the Grizzlies bench came in and instantly struggled. The Spurs were able to work their way back. They went on a huge run early in the second quarter, and they were able to work their way back to within 1 point. And at that point, a timeout was called. The Grizzlies were up 1, and you're thinking, okay, we've seen this episode play out many times before. The benches struggled. The starters will come back in. They'll once again make the difference, and that happens once again. The Spurs had no answer for Jonas Valanciunas. He absolutely was a presence all day long, especially when it came to his rebounding. Yes, he got some second chance points, but the even bigger thing is he was able to limit second chance opportunities at least consistently from the Spurs. So at the end of the first half, the Grizzlies are up 9 points. When the third quarter, the Grizzlies' third quarter adjustments truly showed. They were able to stop San Antonio's dribble drive downhill impact for at least a quarter, and overall both teams struggled from the field. Only 16 points scored by each team in the third quarter, but it allowed the Grizzlies to still maintain a 9-point lead. Well, then in the fourth quarter, the Spurs concept of offense was able to be a bit more effective, because it was clear since the Grizzlies were having to play their starters more minutes than usual as a unit because the bench was struggling, this Grizzlies team had kind of had gotten tired. So the Spurs were starting to make their impact. They were starting to get to the free throw line. They were able to hit tough shots, and they even were able to take the lead in the fourth quarter. But the big, big difference in the game was actually a role reversal. Through three and a half quarters, it was Dylan on defense and Jonas on offense that made the difference in the world for the Grizzlies. They were the two best players on the court last night, and we'll get into that why that matters in just a second. But in the final few minutes of the fourth quarter, it was Dylan scoring eight straight points on offense and Jonas. Earlier in the fourth quarter, the Spurs scored five straight points on a two and a three because they were able to take advantage of Jonas being away from the basket. He had switched on to a smaller guard. I believe it was on DeRozan and another guard, but that led to five straight points from the Spurs. But Jonas made his adjustments, and late in the fourth, he got multiple stops against smaller guards by being able to contest shots, and that made a huge difference for this Grizzlies team. So it was Dylan's defense and Jonas's offense for three and a half quarters, but in the final few minutes, it was Dylan on offense and Jonas on defense that really made a key difference. But beyond that, it was the whole team. Ja Morant had a big steal as well as forced a big turnover in the fourth quarter on two separate possessions to lead to opportunities for the Grizzlies to get turnovers. Xavier Tillman had a big stop on DeJounte Murray. Desmond Bane had a huge defensive effort and also a huge, huge offensive rebound at the end of the game. It was a complete team effort. Though Dylan and Jonas were leading the charge, it really was a complete team effort for this Grizzlies team, and they were able to secure the 100-96 victory. Now, obviously, one thing that stands out is that the Grizzlies still certainly struggled. On the night, the Spurs outscored the Grizzlies bench 37-14. They also outscored us in terms of they had more offensive rebounds, more second chance points. They had seven more free throws. As a matter of fact, this Spurs team was able to have not only make seven more free throws, but they were also able to attempt seven more shot attempts. When you look at the team box scores, this was not a favorable end of the night box score for the Grizzlies. A lot of times when you see the advantages that the Spurs had over the Grizzlies, it leads to a Grizzlies loss, especially considering that the Grizzlies struggled shooting from three on the night as well. But where the Grizzlies were able to make up the difference was by hitting key shots. Only 48 points in the paint, which means 52 of them were outside. So several key shots on floaters, jump shots, good looks. The Grizzlies were able to get good looks from the mid-range and were able to hit them consistently. That's a big thing that stood out. The other key thing was getting back to Dylan and Jonas. Coming into the game, I think it was fair to say this Grizzlies team was the more talented team. I think that you could say that with confidence. But the Grizzlies did not leave a chance for that to be debated. On defense, the best player on the night was Dylan Brooks. DeMar DeRozan, 5 of 24 from the field, 20 points, yes, but it was because he got to the free throw line 11 times, mostly in the fourth quarter when he usually does. Only 20 points on the night, 5 of 11 from the field. Dylan was able to limit him to where someone else had to step up from the Spurs, and they did. Rudy Gay had a 20-plus point night himself. You have to hand it to the Spurs. They hit tough shots to keep this game close. But overall, Dylan was the best player on defense. Jonas was the best player on offense. And the Grizzlies also played with the energy that they consistently needed to. Yes, they had a letdown in the second quarter, but to begin the game and end the game, the Grizzlies were the more energetic team. They were the ones who were creating the turnovers. They were the ones getting the stops. They were the ones getting the rebounds and the big offensive rebounds, like I mentioned with Desmond Bane. So the Grizzlies had the best players on both defense and offense. They were playing with more energy at the crucial times of the game, and they were playing with more team cohesiveness. The overall defensive effort in the second half is really what made a key difference. And that's the big thing. That's what shows why this victory is huge, despite just keeping the Grizzlies alive. Once again, and the frequency of how this has occurred should not be understated. This Grizzlies team has still not played at its best for a long stretch of a game in quite a while. It did a few times. You could probably say the last time the offense played the best that it could was against the Dallas Mavericks. That game, this Grizzlies team certainly played to their potential. But overall, there have been far more wins recently from this Grizzlies team when they've not been playing at their best. But the fact that they've consistently been able to do that, and now we're able to do it in a do-or-die game against a rival that knew them, that is a big, big step for this Grizzlies team. But it goes beyond just that when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies. Yes, this was a big victory because it keeps them alive. It gives them a chance to make the playoffs, which has been the stated goal for this team all year. But it goes beyond much more than that when it comes to this win. Coming up, I'll explain many different reasons as to why this was such a big victory and big step and could be remembered as a milestone night for this Grizzlies team coming up. The spring is fully here, and the summer is right around the corner, and thankfully, we've had some great weather to enjoy, and that probably means you're out and about, maybe going on vacation, out and about doing stuff with sports and other activities with your family. Obviously, you need your car to be reliable this time of year, but sometimes that doesn't work out. You need to make repairs, and you need car parts, and the one place that has you covered is rockauto.com for a variety of good reasons. Number one, within a few clicks of the button, you're likely going to find what you need because it's so easy to operate rockauto.com. Also, regardless of the make and model and the part that you need, it's likely rockauto.com will have it in stock. Whether you're someone like me who needs someone else to do repairs, you do your own repairs, or you do repairs for others for a living, regardless of experience level, rockauto.com is going to be a great source because it's very cost effective. This is a family-owned business. They've been around for over 20 years. They know that car parts typically fall out of budgets, so they may want to make things as cost-friendly as possible. If you go to rockauto.com, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. We want to remind everyone that tonight we will be hosting our weekly episode of Let's Talk Grizzness on the Locker Room app. Really excited to talk more Grizzlies basketball. Really excited to talk about the fact that we get to look forward to another game of Grizzlies basketball. We'll cover all that, looking at tomorrow's matchup against the Golden State Warriors, as well as a few other things. Who needs to step up? Obviously, who's performing well? All that. Join us tonight. Go download the Locker Room app from the App Store. Create your profile, get into the action. Let's talk with you over at Let's Talk Grizzlies tonight at 8 o'clock via the Locker Room app. So one thing that I will say is that beyond how the Grizzlies played last night, being there in person in the FedEx Forum once again, I will say this, my two fondest memories of being in the FedEx Forum when it comes to the Grizzlies were when they beat the San Antonio Spurs back in 2011 at the start of the grit and grind era, but also when they were able to get the victory over the Clippers in the first round of, I believe, the 2013 playoffs. Now, obviously, that's no hot take. That obviously is, that was the two playoff victories that this team actually was able to enjoy at home in the history of the franchise. So obviously, those would stand out. But it's not just because of what happened on the court. I have told this to anybody that I've talked with about my favorite Grizzlies memories. My memories of those two nights were not just because of what happened on the court. It was because I set up in the top section and was able to see the crowd as a whole despite just was on the court. When the FedEx Forum is rocking, especially during a playoff series, it's unlike anything I've really ever been able to be at. And I know that you could say that about a lot of other places, but when it comes to Memphis, and when it comes to basketball, and when it comes to all those things intersecting on a national stage and there being success, there are a few things that compare to it. Last night, though there were probably less than half as many people as the stands as there were on those nights, I'm not going to say last night was as epic as when we beat the Spurs, you know, to get our first playoff series win, or when we beat the Clippers on our way to the Western Conference playoffs, but it was wonderful to see. One underrated thing that I think needs to stand out is that that was the closest this team has been able to enjoy an actual near-capacity stadium or near-full stadium on a big level, really since, in my opinion, since the last game of the first half of the 2019-2020 season. If you go back to, I believe it was February 10th of 2020, so 15 months ago, Damian Lillard came with the Portland Trailblazers in a game against the Memphis Grizzlies, where if the Trailblazers won, they were going to be within one or two games of the Memphis Grizzlies before or to end the first half of the season in the 1920 season. But the Grizzlies were able to step up, limit Dame, and get a big victory. And that was the last time I really remember the FedEx Ford rocking, because the Grizzlies went on a big road trip after that, and then obviously COVID hit. So a huge, huge reason as to why last night was such a significant victory and why I think it'll be looked back upon as being one of the more significant victories in the first few years of this new generation of Grizzlies is because of the fact that it felt like normal again. The fans were there. It was the most significant game this Grizzlies team had played in 4 years. It was the first time that this young core had really been in a playoff-type atmosphere, and they were able to deliver. And I don't think that it can be stated enough that another key thing about this, in a season where the Grizzlies had played much more successfully on the road as road warriors, they were able to finish with a winning record at home. Now, obviously, we want for that to continue. And I know last night may not count in the stats, but the Grizzlies have played 37 games at home this year. They now have won 19 of them compared to 18 losses, including 5 straight home wins. That is significant for a team that last night, everyone of the Grizzlies players that we talked to, and we're talking about Jonas, Dillon, Jaren, and Ja, the four most important players right now for this Grizzlies team, now and going forward. Those four players, each of them, thanked the fans and talked about how huge it was to have the fans in the stands. So one of the big reasons why last night was so significant was it was because it was a bit of a return to normalcy. It was the opportunity for this Grizzlies team, in a place where they've struggled this year in a do-or-die situation, to make the most of their opportunity and take a step forward and move forward. Speaking of moving forward, it was further validation that we are seeing step forwards in the career of Dillon Brooks and Jonas Valanciunas. Now, I'm not going to sit here and hide behind my words. I have stated in the past that I felt that Jonas Valanciunas was most valuable to this team as a trade chip this upcoming summer. I've also, on another podcast, on the Core 4 podcast of the Grizzly Bear Blues Network, I've compared Dillon Brooks to Troy Daniels. Now, I don't apologize for those takes. At the time that I gave those takes, I feel there was a valid reason as to why I had those perspectives. But just because I gave those takes then does not mean that I cannot evolve my own take of both players as they evolve their games. And without a doubt, Jonas Valanciunas has taken a significant step in terms of his consistency on offense, as well as has improved on his defense in the second year in Taylor Jenkins' system. Dillon Brooks, his overall effort, his discipline, the effectiveness of his decision-making on both offense and defense, it has taken a step forward. And last night, for both of those players to be the best players on the court, sure, let's be honest, the best version of this Grizzlies team, having the success it's having right now, the best version of that would be through Ja taking his steps towards superstardom. That would be awesome. It's not happening right now, though, and that's fine. He's a young player. This is the first time he's experiencing true playoff-type situations in his career. A lot of young players struggle. I'm not that concerned, worried, or anything that Ja himself is not just taking over games as many of us hope he would. Yes, the best version of all this would be Ja being the best player on the court by far in games like this. But if that's not the case, it's still just as awesome that two veterans who still are young enough to continue to improve have done just that on a big stage for them. This was Dillon's biggest game that he's played as a Grizzly. This was Jonas's biggest game that he's played in 3 or 4 years. They knew they had to deliver on this stage, and they had to deliver by doing the things that they do best, and that's exactly what they did. But, as I mentioned in the first segment, each of them also stepped up in other ways. Jonas on defense, Dillon on offense, they stepped up in other ways to make sure that the victory was secure. So the maturation of Dillon and Jonas in this situation, them stepping up to take the brass ring and be the two best players on the court in last night's game, that's a huge step forward. And finally, the third thing, as I mentioned in the first segment, that really stands out is that this Grizzlies team right now is finding it harder to be able to feature their strengths. They're not scoring the 55 to 56 points in the paint that they normally do. Their bench certainly is significantly less, you know, productive than it has been. The assists were down last night, only 18 assists. Yes, the Grizzlies had a big boost when it came to creating or getting on the fast break. The turnovers were not there. All of the different things that the Grizzlies typically need to do to win games that they are elite at, very few, if any of them, were there last night. But because of the fact that they had the energy from the home crowd, and because Jonas and Dylan stepped up, this Grizzlies team still figured out how to win. Yes, without a doubt, the best thing for this Grizzlies team to do is consistently play to its potential, and that's going through the play of Ja and Jaren. That is without a doubt what needs to happen in the future for this Grizzlies team to ultimately become a sustainable winner and a championship contender. But in the meantime, just as important of a factor is this Grizzlies team consistently figuring out how it can still win if it's not able to play to its strengths or its best talents are not playing as the best talents. That sheds a positive light on the roster in playing together, not getting deterred when their usual sources of successes are not producing. They're finding other ways to win. And it's also a positive light on Taylor Jenkins, who's making the needed decisions to put this team in the place to win. Staggering Kyle Anderson last night to where he played with the bench, to where the Grizzlies weren't able to give up a huge run by the Spurs. Yes, they came back, but they did not storm back in that early fourth quarter because Kyle Anderson was on the court. That was a good coaching move. Taking Jaren out of the game for the final 3 or 4 minutes and playing Desmond Bane instead. Desmond Bane was just playing more effectively. That was an astute move. We'll talk about a few other moves in the third segment of the show, but Taylor Jenkins, I don't necessarily know if he outcoached Greg Popovich last night, but the late, though two free throws were missed in the fourth quarter, Taylor Jenkins also made a challenge on a Ja Morant drive, and he won that challenge. It's not just the maturation of a few players on the roster or the roster as a whole. It's Taylor Jenkins evolving and maturing as well. This Grizzlies roster and the coaching staff they won last night's game because they showed growth. From Jenkins all the way down to Desmond Bane. Every player in between that played last night, every coach that assisted, they all showed growth last night, and it was needed for this Grizzlies team to get a victory despite not playing at their best. So being able to play in front of the home crowd for the first time at this level in over a year, seeing Dylan and Jonas mature and step up and be able to deliver on a big stage as the main players for this Grizzlies team, and as well as the growth of this team consistently finding ways to win despite not playing at their best, that's what made this so significant of a win last night. And the final thing is that I truly feel that through this win, through getting a win as a favorite in a do-or-die game, I don't see any reason why anybody can be disappointed now with this season, why anybody can be frustrated. The Grizzlies stated before the season, their goal was to have a shot at earning a trip to the playoffs, and they've earned exactly that, and they've overcome quite a bit to be able to get that. So overall, a big victory last night, not just because the Grizzlies are still alive, but because it revealed a lot of growth, maturity, and evolution for this team and this coaching staff that could be a big boost for them going into the offseason and the future. But obviously, there are still more games to play. And with that in mind, some revelations through rotations last night stood out to me that are going to be big coming up for this Golden State game, in a game in which the bench unit really has to be ready to produce for the Grizzlies to earn that trip to the playoffs. Without a doubt, in its first season being fully featured as perhaps a new long-term addition to the NBA schedule, the play-in tournament has certainly been a success. We've had two fun nights of basketball, last night especially, with both games being within a combined 7 points of victories. The margin of victory was only 4 in the Grizzlies game and 3 in the Lakers game, as well. But that's what makes it so exciting, and that's what makes it an exciting time of year. If you're someone that enjoys wagering and betting on sports, and if that is something you enjoy doing, I can tell you that I've got the place that has you covered, and that's BetOnline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit BetOnline.ag today, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when you head to the website or use your mobile device to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. We're all trying on a daily basis to add healthy benefits to our day. And there's small yet significant ways you can do that. You don't have to run a marathon every single day. You don't have to go on a 50-mile bike ride. You could just simply add additions to your day that are easy to maintain as a routine. One of those ways is healthy snacks. And Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar out there on the market to do just that. Whether you have it in the morning for breakfast, in the afternoon as a snack, Built Bar is going to make your day better. Tastes like a candy bar, but with all the health benefits of a protein bar. And if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you can find 18 different flavors to choose from that'll meet your taste preferences. You also, by putting in the promo code LOCKED15, can get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. That's putting the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Whenever you have the opportunity to make it part of your day, Built Bar will be there to stay. You can go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, Steph Curry wasn't enough for the Warriors against the Lakers. And as a little added bonus, that means if you listen to Locked On Today, you'll come to understand why, through my appearance on Locked On Today, that could mean some trouble for Steph against the Grizzlies. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast and great host Peter Bukowski. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I want to remind you that tonight at 8 o'clock, we will be hosting our weekly episode of Let's Talk Grizzness via the Locked On Grizzlies podcast and the Locker Room app at 8 o'clock tonight. Whether you have an Android or Apple phone, go to the App Store, download the Locker Room app, create a free profile, go into the chat rooms, and then find Let's Talk Grizzness at 8 o'clock tonight. And we have plenty to talk about, obviously, with the Grizzlies having another do-or-die game coming up Friday. But speaking of that game, I do feel that there were a few significant revelations via rotations that Coach Taylor Jenkins used that are significant going forward, especially when it comes to Friday night. One of the things that stood out to me was that in the first wave of bench players, you know, we saw Grayson Allen, who was back healthy. We saw Desmond Bain. We saw, Tyus Jones and DeAnthony Melton. It was understood those four players would be coming off the bench. But the first big revelation was Xavier Tillman coming into the game to play instead of Brandon Clark. Now, a couple of takeaways that I have from why Coach Jenkins used the waves that he did was one obvious reason was he was trying to get some shooting presence in the game. He was trying his best to get some shooting going for this Grizzlies team. Once again, they struggled last night, seven threes from the field last night, six on Sunday. This Grizzlies team, it worked out last night. They were able to win despite not shooting the three well because the Spurs themselves are not a good three-point shooting team. But come Friday, I think that it's going to be very hard for this Grizzlies team to get a victory to make the playoffs without making at least 10 threes. They are going to have to make at least 10 threes on Friday. So I think Coach Jenkins was just simply trying to get his shooters into the game. Grayson Allen being back is a great development, but I really hope that he's able to get somewhat healthy over the next few days because his added depth to Bane and Dylan Brooks and Melton hopefully will be a big boost for this Grizzlies team that they're going to need. But the other thing is using Tillman over Brandon Clark. Now, I do feel for a few reasons Tillman made sense. Number one, He's more of a traditional five than Brandon Clark is. You needed that going against Jakob Poeltl and Gorgui Dieng last night. You needed that to get Jonas some rest. And the other reason why I think that Coach Jenkins went over with Tillman over Clark is because Tillman has been shooting the three significantly better this year than Clark has, especially in the second half of the season. So setting him up as a corner three option where threes were at a premium probably made some sense. So I get why Coach Jenkins went with Tillman over Brandon Clark last night. The thing that I'll say, though, is that I do think that while it, you know, theoretically made sense as to why to use Tillman, I do feel Clark would have made the bigger difference last night. Because in a game where you were seeing a lot of plays being scored in the paint, a game where rebounds were of the premium, a game where second chance points were of the premium, and a game where the Grizzlies' athleticism was making a difference, all those things, in my opinion, make you prefer Clark over Tillman. So I get why Coach Jenkins used Tillman. I just could have seen Brandon Clark making a bigger impact. And the other thing that I'll say is this, is just because Tillman was used over Clark, in my opinion, doesn't mean that Clark is out of the rotation. It's just that last night it made sense to use Tillman in those minutes. Another big decision by Taylor Jenkins that I think paid dividends was that it's clear that this Grizzlies team cannot be without Dylan, Jaw, Jonas, or Anderson. They cannot be without at least one of those guys on the court at all times. And that's a decision that Coach Taylor Jenkins made last night when he staggered Kyle Anderson's minutes midway and late in the third quarter. He substituted Anderson in with about 2 minutes to go in the third quarter because he knew he had to have some form of consistency, some form of two-way consistency to support his struggling bench to end the third quarter and start the fourth quarter. And the Spurs still made a comeback. They still made a comeback in those minutes. But I think because Dylan and Kyle Anderson played with the bench during that stretch, that prevented the Spurs from having a huge comeback and allowed for the Grizzlies to at least tread water until the starters were back on the court. So I think it was an astute coaching decision by Taylor Jenkins in the second half to stagger some of his starters to have them play with the bench so the Grizzlies could at least tread water until their starters got some rest and were able to close out the game. But the other big thing that also was eye-opening was that at the end of the game, it was actually Desmond Bane and then De'Anthony Melton who were on the court for the final 2 or 3 minutes than Jaren Jackson Jr. Now, I get why they made the decision. I feel Desmond Bane probably was playing a bit more effectively than Jaren Jackson Jr. last night, especially when the Spurs were going with a bit of a small ball lineup, the too big lineup that the Grizzlies were deploying against the Spurs. Yes, it would, it theoretically, again, would have been successful, but for Taylor Jenkins, I can understand why he felt going with Bane, who basically was more of a 3-and-D presence than Jaren was on the perimeter. I think that it made sense, and it wound up paying off. Bane played good defense, also had that huge offensive rebound to extend the lead late in the quarter for the Grizzlies. But the reason why I think it's significant that Jaren Jackson Jr. was not on the court to end the game, and why Brandon Clark did not play, is kind of a downer, I guess. Kind of, an unsatisfactory thing about all this is that this whole time in which we had been really hoping to see the Grizzlies' advantage when it came to the front court, the two waves of Jonas and Jaren and then Brandon Clark and Tillman, it's not at its full capacity. It's certainly not. The Brandon Clark that we saw his rookie year, the Brandon Clark that we saw earlier this year when he was healthy, it's unlikely we're going to see that Brandon Clark again this year, at least for long stretches. I wish we could. I really do. I don't know if he's still dealing with injuries, but it just seems as if, at this point in time, Brandon Clark is not the preference off the bench that he once was. I think he'll get play on Friday. I think that Jenkins knows that his ability to run the court, his ability to play defense, that'll need to be deployed for at least 10 to 15 minutes on Friday. So I certainly do think that he'll play on Friday. But we kind of knew that the Jaren that we were used to, Jaren at his full capacity, was not going to be there this year. But the fact that, you know, Jaren is not able to clearly be trusted in those final minutes, and also the fact that Brandon Clark did not play last night, I'm not saying that this is a downgrade on their future outlook. It's not at all. Anybody who has that opinion, it's a flawed opinion. That's not true at all. What it does mean, though, is that the chances of seeing Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. at their difference-making ability that we've seen so many flashes of at even times this season, I don't know how likely it is going to be there. And that is a bit of a downer because I do think that takes away from an area that could be a big advantage for the Grizzlies in terms of their front court depth. So the fact that Taylor Jenkins is prioritizing shooting is a good sign, and he needs to, because this Grizzlies bench, again, outscored 37-14 last night, and the Grizzlies shooting are going to have to significantly improve on Friday. But also, I think that Taylor Jenkins simply was trying to go with who has been his most consistent option as a third big to support Kyle and Jaren and Jonas, and that's why he went with Tillman last night. Not saying it's going to be that way going forward, but it's clearly true that Coach Jenkins is going to get as much shooting in there as possible as he can when it comes to his second unit, and that also he's going to go with the more consistent option in Tillman at times than perhaps Clark. And the other thing is that Jaren, you know, getting the Jaren back that we saw in the bubble, at least for a long stretch in one game, that may not be as likely as many had hoped it would be. So nothing negative and nothing long term from last night, I feel, has changed. I just feel that shooting is going to be the preference, and that also the true advantage of our front court depth may not be realized this season. That's the takeaway that I had from last night's game. But the biggest takeaway of all, this Grizzlies team is still alive. No matter how you look at it, I don't see any reason how anybody can say now that this season has been a disappointment. They've earned the shot that they wanted all season long, that everybody considered to be reasonable from them all season long, and they have the ability to significantly improve to get that playoff shot on Friday night. Don't forget tonight, the Let's Talk Grizzness show on the Locker Room app. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast, wherever you listen to it. My name is Sean Coleman. It's been a pleasure to be with you once again. Hope you have a great day. We'll be back with you tomorrow after tonight's show on the Locker Room app, talking all things Grizzlies and Warriors going into the very, very significant matchup for the ability to make the playoffs between Golden State and Memphis. Until then, have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.